This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Monday now afternoon as we await the NFL news, BT. We'll keep everybody updated. Nothing doing yet. Well, Hassan Reddick did agree to a deal with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So short-lived jet life for Reddick. It was a disaster, horrible trade.
Did nothing.
Yeah, it was just when you look back on this, it's going to be one of the worst moves and just the ugly period with the New York Jets. Anyway, Reddick moves on with the Bucs, but nothing significant that impacts the Jets or the Giants yet. We'll keep you updated on everything as it happens. But we started the show talking about Gerrit Cole. We're down with the King topic of the day. And unfortunately, the Yankees King in their rotation is going to be down likely for the year. We won't know definitively yet, BT, or we don't know. We might know today.
Yeah.
Seems to be the case that Yankees are expecting the worst and prepared for the worst, but just getting every opinion that they possibly can. But it does not sound good for Gerrit Cole.
Sal, I'm old enough to remember the good old days when we were just discussing whether or not the Yankees had a leadoff hitter this year, or whether or not they had a cleanup hitter, or third base was an issue, or the left field situation with Jason Dominguez. Boy, this is a long list of issues with the Yankees here. And you know, it's so odd how it's happened. You know, usually in football, there's a team or two that just has a rash of injury. Baseball, it's crazy how many guys have gone down for the Yankees. And that other Tando Alvarez, we mentioned that before, has been a couple of Met pitchers as well. This, just get out of Tampa. I mean, get to the season healthy. I don't really know what you could do at this point. If the young kids don't play well, the Yankees are in trouble. If they do play well, they'll be a good team. I really think it's that simple.
Yeah, I don't think their season is over by any stretch. And if this were in isolation, losing Gerrit Cole, it would not be a big deal. It's on top of losing Heal and the issues with Stanton and the fact that I didn't love the Yankees were built the way that they were built to come into the year, also investing big in starting pitching. But one of the reasons, at least in part, I would think that they got Max Fried is insurance in case something like this happened to Gerrit Cole, because it happened a year ago. So when Cole missed the first half of last year, I thought that was going to be a problem for the Yanks, but it wasn't. They overcame that. He comes back. He was okay. So this is not a death blow to me for the Yankees. It more should change their thought process on how they build a team moving forward and not invest so much money in starting pitching, although it's too late with Fried and Rodon recently on the books here. But also that the Yankees can overcome it. They just need a lot of those question marks to be answered the right way. Their margin for error was thin anyway.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know how you could have it even more thin going into the spring, losing three major pieces.
Well, you're right. It's not a death blow here. But now the ability for the Yankees to win some low-scoring games, I don't know how you really lean on that here. And, you know, Stroman's going to be taking the baseball a lot. And he's a gamer, and he's a grinder, and I respect him. You know, but his stuff at this point is, you know, even Schmidt's banged up, and we're counting now on him as a complete staple here in the rotation. I like Rodon more than you, but I'm certainly aware, you know, he's not a top-level pitcher at this point. Doesn't pitch well against the best teams, it seems to be. So, yeah, I mean, that's okay if you got some thumpers in the lineup here. Listen, you're going to have to run a little bit. You're going to have to get creative. You're going to have to do some things that maybe the Yankees as an organization are uncomfortable doing. And that is really leaning on young kids and putting guys on base, motion in the, on the bases. And I don't know how it's going to work out, but I know this. You can't have possibly more pressure than Aaron Judge has on him. I mean, if Aaron Judge doesn't have a monster season.
Again,
can somebody tell me how the Yankees offense could be anything even close to average if Aaron Judge doesn't have another all-time season? Like, what they're asking him to do is unfair.
Yeah.
It's unfair.
I know, but they shouldn't be, and that's kind of the point where I had an issue with the way that they built the team coming into the year. It shouldn't be that reliant on Judge again. We thought, or a lot of people thought, okay, well, they don't get Soto, great, even better, because now they're going to build it out. But they didn't do enough, and what they did wasn't necessarily better than what they had a year ago. They didn't do enough, and even if you think that they did do enough, well, now they've taken major hits already and was supposed to be the strength of the team. Okay, well, they're not going to be able to outslug you this year the way that they would in years past, but their pitching is going to be better than anybody else. And they've already taken two crushing blows with Heel and Gerrit Cole in that starting rotation. So I love their bullpen. No issues there. I think the lineup still has some potential to outslug teams, especially in a weaker American League. But, I mean, I don't know how you could put yourself in a spot again where it's like, yeah, Judge has to go hit 62 home runs again for the Yankees to have a chance.
Yeah, and listen, you can think that the Yankees had a really good pivot from Soto, as I do. I thought the pivot was phenomenal. And, you know, come up with a pretty good, on paper, plan B. And then other things happen out of your control. And now suddenly what you did is kind of offset. Like, if Gerrit Cole and Luis Heel are entering the season healthy, those are things the Yankees can't control, then I think the alert and the level of I don't know, panic, but awareness of some of these Yankee issues, it wouldn't quite be as strong. I think it's amplified because they just lost two guys who are among the top 12, 13 pitchers in baseball. Whereas if they're going out there and they're taking, you know, even if to be conservative, instead of 33 starts, Heel makes 25 and Cole makes 25 or 27, the Yankees would have one of the most dominant rotations, and the offense could sputter a little bit.
Right.
These young kids could have a chance to learn how to play. Now they just don't have that margin for error. They really don't.
BT, it's Al on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We've also talked about the Giants and Jets both looking for a quarterback. The free agent legal tampering period has begun in the NFL, and there have been a couple of moves. We mentioned Reddick goes to the Bucs. The Chiefs get a lineman from the Niners, Jalen Moore, and then Chris Godwin's back with the Bucs. So again, insignificant moves, but as far as it pertains to the Jets and Giants, nothing major just yet. We'll keep you updated on anything that could be happening there, but obviously, BT, it's going to come fast and furious now with the legal tampering period underway.
Yeah, and there were a couple of things I saw over the weekend where Godwin was very loosely connected to the Jets. Not that it was a done deal or a layup, but just, hey, keep an eye on this, you know. Maybe, and that doesn't come to fruition here. Listen, generally, it's the second wave of free agency that starts to set you apart. You know, the first name, it's fun, it's bold and italicized, and the names jump off the page. But, you know, I mean, what's Godwin, 30, 31, something like whatever he is in terms of his age? You know, he's a really good player. Generally, the value is more once the first wave kind of goes away a little bit.
Let's get back to the calls here. Dylan is in Floral Park. Want to talk about the Yankees rotation. What's up, Dylan?
How's it going, Sal?
Good.
I was actually at the event, me and my boy Frankie, over the weekend at Long Beach, Borelli's, for the St. John's game. They're going to win the whole thing. It was a great time. Thanks, BT.
That was awesome, man. Had a great time.
Yankees right now would be smart to go out and get Dylan Cease. I don't think they're going to even be in it by the deadline, so they're not going to be looking at bringing in, let's say, a Jacob deGrom like the Mets Rangers are out of it. But I'll hang up and listen. Have a great time. Thanks, boys.
Thank you, Dylan. We appreciate
Thanks,
you checking in.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that you do anything rash right now. I don't. I still think you... Listen, if you think that there's one massive move, if you even believe this, not everybody does. I do. Like, if there was a move to maybe save the season at some point, I think Hal... I hope Hal would pony up the money, and we'll see if he would. I don't know you fire the bullet now without knowing what other things you need to address. It's a long season. It is a long season. The Yankees won. Now, Soto was there, obviously, but the Yankees had a very good April last year, and Aaron Judge was hitting 140. Now, if Aaron Judge hits 140 without Soto, yeah, he's got problems. But you know, nobody's going to run out and win 106 games in the American League East, including the Yankees. Let it develop. See what you got and pounce when you have to pounce.
Yeah, and if I could paint a positive picture here, even on an otherwise negative day with the Gerrit Cole injury on top of the other stuff, Stanton's insignificant. I know nobody wants to get nuts about it. Like, nobody wants to believe it. We were saying the same thing a couple of years ago. Oh, look what he did in the postseason. That's great. I'd rather build my team without a guy like John Carlos Stanton every single day of the week. I get it. He's a good dude. He's going to be irrelevant as far as the Yankees go. And, by the way, he's still not totally done for the year. Seems that way, but he's not done for the year. But Cole, all likelihood, done for the year. Here's the positive picture. Heel's not done for the year. He's out for 3 months. You tell me the Yankees can't overcome losing Luis Heel. I know it's Cole on top of that, and I know it's a thinner lineup, but there are ways where the Yankees can survive without Luis Heel for a few months. And then let's say, now it's a big if, but let's say he comes back and pitches the way that he pitched a year ago, but is even more fresh because he didn't pitch for the first 3 months of the season, and now all of a sudden you have a 1-2 punch of Fried and Heel. Not to mention, I don't like Rodon, but still, Rodon is a 3 in most rotations.
Oh, Schmidt.
Okay. Yeah, Schmidt. Okay, Schmidt 3, Rodon 4. Like, it's not like it's all lost here for the Yankees. Now, a lot has to go right, but let's not make it like it's a totally lost season.
No, I'm not saying that. I think the 3 months you with Heel, you hope it's 3 months. That's the problem. I don't know, like if a guy had a grade 2, grade 3, which would be the most severe, grade 3 hamstring injury, right? You know that he's coming back. Like there's the timeline with shoulders worries me.
Yeah, I get
it. Like Senga a year ago, the impingement, the lat, the shoulder.
I mean, dude, 3 months is bad in itself, and it could be worse.
It is, but I do like your point, Sal. If there's no setbacks and he does come back and he starts dealing from, let's say, the middle of June. Let's say even July 1st. You're going to have Luis Heel, who's fresh and, you know, in theory, ready to take the baseball and go hard through October. So, listen, there's silver linings here. The Yankees are going to be competitive. But again, their margin of error shrinks by the day.
And if he is what he was a year ago, maybe even more, you know, polished, more refined, especially toward the end of the year, into the postseason, do the Yankees really lose that much in where their rotation is now with Fried versus where they were a year ago with Cole, Heel? Like, you saw where the Yankees were a year ago, plus getting Clark Schmidt back. Like, there's a lot. I think that you could paint the Yankees would be in a similar spot, maybe better bullpen than they had a year ago.
I love the bullpen.
And just a different lineup. Now, the lineup's still the question mark. So even with all the stuff that happened, I still think the main issue is, what will Dominguez be? What will Wells be? What is Volpe going to do as far as taking another step here? How's Bellinger going to bounce back? What's Goldschmidt? Like, it's those question marks in the lineup, to me, will ultimately decide the fate of the Yankees this year.
Listen, there's so many. Oh, man. There's a lot going on here. So there's going to be a lot of different takes on the Yankees here. My take was always, up until the Heel and the Cole news, is that I think the Yankees absolutely will have a top three pitching staff in baseball. I don't think that anymore.
Right.
So, and that was always baked into that opinion, was a lineup that I was intrigued by and interested to watch develop, but by no means all in on. So if the greatest absolute strength of the Yankees has been undeniably hit multiple levels here, and I think the general consensus is, at best, the lineup right now is maybe a tick above average, at best, right now, then I don't know how people don't see the pitching injuries as a big, big thing.
The main point to me, and I guess why I say, because obviously, like, there is no opinion on this. This will impact the Yankees in a negative way, right? Like, there's no other way to dispute that. Why I don't think it's as significant as everybody else is because I didn't think the Yankees were necessarily a World Series winning team anyway. So what, like, I don't think that Cole's going to make them now a non-playoff team. I still think the Yankees are making the postseason, especially as it pertains to if they do or don't, it's going to be based on the younger guys. So I never thought Gerrit Cole was going to be the biggest factor in this Yankees season. It would have helped. You'd hope to have him fresh in the postseason. Say you get to the World Series and you have a rotation with Cole, Fried, Heel, Schmidt, like, okay, against the Dodgers, take your best shot.
Mm-hmm.
So it hurts maybe in that aspect, but I never thought that this Yankee team was really built to be a World Series team either, and neither did you. We had this conversation, you know, a week ago before the Cole injury news, so that's why I don't think it's as
But I think it could swing in the direction where I think, for me at this point, at least on the table, is a possibility is that the Yankees don't make the playoffs.
Yeah, like, see, I'd be shocked if that's
yeah, I mean, I don't think I would be shocked. Shocked is too strong. Not when I've sat here for a month and a half and I've talked about five of the nine everyday lineup spots where I don't know what the hell's going to happen. And now 40% of the pitching rotation is on ice. And, you know, the other thing, too, about Luis Gil, again, I believe he's going to be back. But if you remember watching Luis Gil pitch last year after a great start, and we talked about that, loosely, you remember I brought Doc stats from Doc's great year. And then, you know, like he was good, but he wasn't quite the same. Now, his issue was he was missing high in the zone. If you guys remember, he couldn't control the upper part of the zone, and he got deep into counts, and his pitch count went up. Well, how exactly is he working on his craft to change that when he won't throw a baseball for 3 months?
Right. No, I get it. It's hard when you have that happen. Obviously, going to be out. Everything gets set back, BT.
Yeah.
And then the ramp-up period, so... Either way, it's not great news for the Yankees, but to me, the season is not officially over. There is one more free agent move here. See, this is a big one, and people don't go nuts about this, but former Falcon Drew Dolman is now headed to the Bears. He's going to become the NFL's second highest paid center. Those are the type of moves. That's how you win, BT. The Bears, with the new head coach Ben Johnson, with a lot of weapons already in place, now trying to build that offensive line, getting the best center in free agency off the board. He will now go to the Chicago Bears in a move that most people, you know, don't know the name.
No, I've never heard of the guy. I really haven't.
Me neither. I'm a Falcon fan. But I'm just saying, top free agent center.
Yeah.
It's not that I haven't heard of him, but like I couldn't break it down for you. You know what I'm talking about?
I know
about.
What you're saying.
But those are the moves show you how a team is being built the right way.
Yeah, everybody wants the receiver, the edge rusher who's going to get, you know, 13 and a half sacks, the shutdown corner, the tight end that's going to gash the third level or the second level. But why would the Falcons let him go? How old is he?
I don't know.
28?
But again,
is
it just comes
34?
Down to cap restrictions. They're a mess anyway because they built the thing the wrong way by trying to go pay all these skill position players and all that. They're paying Kirk Cousins a ransom. They have Penix on the books. Like, there's, you know, on a younger rookie deal, but still.
Yeah.
Either way.
A lot of Jets and Giants. Let's go.
Well, that would have been a type of move that I like to see the Jets or Giants make, but the Bears are
like
in a different
spot
right there. Yeah,
I like them.
I'm just saying that those type moves. Yeah. All the moves that, to me, show you a team knows what's going on. Seth Rollins is Bears making that big move. All right, we'll continue with the conversation, 888-808-1019. Keep you updated on any of the happenings here with all the news as far as the NFL goes. Maybe the Jets and Giants will find a quarterback before we get off the air. BT and Sal on the Fan. Tierney Salicata back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Check this tweet out, BT, from Connor Hughes of SNY. Does a good job. I trust him covering both the Jets and the Giants, okay?
Mm-hmm.
About the Giants quarterback conversation. We'll get back to the phones. This is from Connor Hughes. The way I read the Giants quarterback situation, plan A was Matthew Stafford. Okay, we saw that. That didn't work. Plan B, this is Connor's words. Plan B is Aaron Rodgers, but he seems interested in everyone bought the Giants, which kind of makes sense, is now my.
You want to win, yeah, and you're not going there.
Well, and it kind of makes sense. Just like, why would he want to go there? And by the other reporting, it does make sense. Okay, back to Connor's words. But but plan C would be Russell Wilson. If Rodgers ends up in Pittsburgh and Wilson with the Colts or the Titans, the Giants likely pivot to Jimmy Garoppolo.
Dude. But they'd still draft somebody.
I'm saying
as long as they draft the right guy, that's the reprieve that they need.
It starts with Stafford.
Yeah.
Please take this. They had a deal in the works. Everything was agreed to.
Yeah.
He didn't want him. Rodgers, plan B, he may not want him. Russell Wilson, plan C, he may not want him because Russell Wilson's going to want to win. The Giants are not a win-now situation.
Mm-hmm.
The Colts or Titans may be better set up for that, or the Colts at least. I don't know. The Titans, you know, who knows what's going on there.
No, they're not good. They're Titans stink.
Maybe Russell Wilson's Colts upset stink. About the last year. This is all hypothetical, but the one fact is that they didn't get their plan A in Stafford.
Yep.
The second fact seems to be that Rodgers is going to have other options and is looking for every option. Rodgers probably wants to get the hell out of New York anyway, right?
I don't know. I mean, I could almost see it the other way, where he's like, I've got this $15 million home, and I know he's got a ton of money.
What, the Giants?
Well, but it's just convenience, man. When you move, you haven't moved around the country. Like, when you move, it is. I know you just moved from Long Island to New Jersey.
I don't even like that, yeah.
We're crossing state lines, you know, even though, yeah, you've got money, and yeah, you could have a realtor do this, and an assistant do all the things for you, set up the cable and the lawn care. I get it. There's still things that you have to do. I don't know how much he wants to disrupt his life at this point.
Man, but to win?
Yeah. Well, he's already won.
I think he wants to prove a lot of
people. Well, there you go. Now, but you could prove almost more by playing well in the same stadium. Like, what would hurt more? The Giants going 9-8 with him as quarterback, having a good year, 28 touchdowns around last year, maybe a little bit better, right? 9-8 with the Giants, or even 10-7, but you know, wild card done quick, or go to the Steelers and get to the second round, or maybe lose in the chain. Like, to me, if he's really, and I don't know that he's motivated to stick it to the Jets, but if he was, don't you think elevating the Giants would be more than helping the Steelers?
I don't think it's about the Jets. I think it's about everybody who's saying he was done or he can't win. I think he wants to win another Super Bowl. He's the ultimate competitor. And I think there are two clear spots, and maybe even one more so than the other. I think Pittsburgh's got to be very appealing.
It should be.
They bring in DK Metcalf. They have Tomlin there.
Yeah.
They always win.
Good tight end. Yeah, Freiermuth is really good.
Now it's a tough division. They're going to run the football.
Yeah.
Now it's a tough division. They got great history. Tough division and a tough conference, which brings me to the other team, the Vikings. I hate the idea that he would be following Brett Favre's exact path, Packers, Jets, Vikings.
I don't think he wants to do that. I think he's so aware that he won't do it.
But if there's a team in the NFL who Rodgers wants to stick it to, it's not the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Packers. He gets an opportunity to do that twice. Home games in a dome.
Mm-hmm.
They're a good football team.
They're good.
Justin Jefferson, you don't need me to mention the weapons.
They're good.
And in a weaker conference. He owns the Lions. Like, there's all... Those two, I think Rodgers, I would love to see it from an NFL fan's perspective. I think Rodgers in Pittsburgh or Minnesota are beautiful storylines.
Let me ask you this. Over under 4.5 national TV outlets next season for Rodgers' team. 4.5. Remember, he had 6 or 7 with the Jets first year.
I think it is going to be with... I think he's going to be a Steeler or a Viking.
So he's going to be on a good team, and he's Rodgers.
Yeah, man.
I'm with you. I think I'd go over on that, too. But just back to the Giants.
The Giants under, for sure.
Yeah. But just back to the Giants for a second. Yeah. Don't you think, and I love Connor as well, so if he's right, you know, and Stafford was plan one or plan A, and Rodgers was plan B, doesn't that tell you right there, in a roundabout way, what they really think about these young quarterbacks in the draft?
Yeah, I know.
Come on.
You would think.
How many plans do you have actually going for one of those guys?
Well, here's what I think it's telling you, is that the owner says you have to win now, and they're going to try to win now while also getting a quarterback while they're at the top of the draft that they can draft and develop. I mean, I think it's trying to do both because they haven't done anything for 3 years.
So you think if they would have gotten Stafford, you think they would have stayed at 3, traded out? Because they weren't giving up 3 for Stafford.
No, he would have been the one difference. I would think that. I don't think you could get Stafford and give up the assets that it would have taken to get him and trade up for the number one pick. I don't think. Nor would it make any sense to do that.
Well, they could have taken Sanders at 3 at that point.
If he were there. But
I think he's going to be there.
But the other options, Stafford would have been the quarterback for the next few years. Rodgers, Russell Wilson, those are clear stopgap
Band-Aids.
For a year.
No question.
Until you develop, you know, draft and develop your guy.
Phil is
in Spring Valley. What's up, Phil?
Hey, guys. How you doing? How's your morning?
Good. What's up, Phil?
Hey, Phil.
Good. I mean, New York sports has gone abysmal in the past, week.
It's not
been
the Johnnies.
Absolutely a wreck. Mm-hmm. Oh, my. Hey, look, you know what? It's crazy how if the other teams were doing well and you didn't have these injuries, St. John's would be almost absolutely not recognized. It's almost a good thing.
It's not true. But go ahead.
In a way, it's... Yeah, I know. But in a way, it's a certain excitement there, and that's fun to see. The New York Giants have a really hard situation. Their schedule doesn't look well. Like an easy one next year. The quarterbacks coming out of this draft are low-end quarterbacks. The quarterbacks that are available for them are not even great stopgap quarterbacks necessarily for a team that really needs a year or two and a guy who's going to, fill that spot. The problem on the Giants is there's no depth of talent. They don't have the depth of talent throughout the team. It's not just a quarterback hole. You have your wide receiver depth, your running back depth, your linebacking depth, your cornerback depth is horrible. And you don't have a team with talent throughout it where you could say, hey, I could bring in a quarterback and we're going to watch our talent develop. And even if we have a bad year, guess what? We have so much talent. We don't.
Yeah.
The Giants do not have that talent.
Well, Phil, why do you think they stink?
Well, exactly. And so therefore, the Giants, I say, hey, bring in a quarterback who simply could be a leader to this team. I don't team won't feel like a negative team.
Well, they tried to do that. They tried to do that, Phil, with Stafford. And thank you for the call. He didn't want any part of them. And that's why I know nobody likes to talk about it and go back to how, you know, things happen here. But that's the reality. Where we are at today is because of multiple horrific decisions the Giants organization has made over the last 5 to 7 years. That's how we are where we are today. And if you want to trim that and say even forget about drafting Barkley, which led to drafting Jones, even for Shane and Dable, year one, they had a chance to move on from Jones and Barkley. They didn't. They ended up winning. It was fool's gold. That led them to keep Daniel Jones. Okay, he had a bad year. They decided to keep him again going into last year. Any one of those decisions that were horrific decisions, any one of those were made differently, we would not be sitting here today. If they took a quarterback last year in the draft, we would not be sitting here today in this predicament that they're in. They're in a horrible spot because they've made wrong decision after wrong decision after wrong decision, and now are doing the worst thing you could do is forcing the issue on getting maybe not even just a quarterback, but two quarterbacks this year.
There should be books written on how inept the Giants have been for a while now. And maybe that's Gary Myers' next book. Instead of writing about the dynasties, he can write about how inept the Giants have been. Why don't you do that?
Because I almost spit out my water.
I mean, it's true, Sal. I mean, really, they've been so mismanaged by so many different people.
Right.
There's a thread of inconsistency and just general ineptness that they just can't seem to get out of, which is why, to me, like, I didn't understand when Giant fans were, I mean, clamoring loudly, I don't want Stafford. Nope, Stafford, I don't want him. I don't want Stafford. Not going to win the Super Bowl with Stafford. And I agreed with that. They weren't going to win the Super Bowl with Stafford. But what Stafford would have, and I know that they tried, so it's not the Giants' fault. They just, they got played. Right. He wanted more money. He stayed with the Rams. He got it. That's why he brought the Raiders into it as well. I thought that bringing in Stafford or maybe even Rodgers to an extent, there's something to be said for elevating a moribund franchise. And I know Rodgers isn't winning a Super Bowl here, just like I knew Stafford wasn't going to win with these Giants. But just get somebody in the building who people will follow a little bit. Where you, you know, if you execute on the most basic level, you're a threat to score 24 points regularly. You don't have to win 10 games. But you've got to be competitive.
Yeah, I the problem with Rodgers is we saw him try to do that with the Jets. So I'm not saying that it's Rodgers' fault the way that it went down. I don't think that the Giants would be a good situation for Rodgers, and I don't think Rodgers would be a good situation for the Giants.
You might be right, but would you rather have Rodgers or Garoppolo?
Yeah, no, I mean,
well, I mean, Rodgers or Mariota.
No,
Rodgers or Wentz.
I'd rather just Cam Ward be the starter and go sign a veteran backup. Like, to me, that's, after Stafford, it was clearly Cam Ward for me. That's where I'd be all in on. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. I think the Alvarez thing is more about Alvarez than it is about the Mets.
This is Francisco Alvarez of the New York Mets. Sal, you really need to get your head examined.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. Would you have Alvarez record that liner, Hoff, when you were in Port St. Lucie?
I did not. We had that about a week or two ago. I think Ray Martel had that done.
What made him say that? Poor Alvarez, my guy, BT. You know, I've had high hopes on Francisco Alvarez. Might as well discuss it here right now as it leads into that. And yes, at times, Alvy, I do need to get my head examined. But right now, unfortunately, Alvarez had his handmade examined, and he's out another 6 to 8 weeks. And as we were alluding to earlier, BT, it's more about, to me, Alvarez than it is about the Mets. This does impact the Mets, but minor impact on their season moving forward. I don't care what the numbers said a year ago. And I know how Alvarez receives that staff, how he calls a game. I know the importance of him being there. I think the Mets will be okay without Alvarez in that lineup. I think at this point, though, we're now, what, 3 years into Francisco Alvarez, and he's been nowhere near what the expectations were supposed to be.
Yeah, I mean, obviously thrown into the fire when they called him up down in Atlanta back in 2022, and then, you know, had a lot of pop in 2023 and, you know, showed, okay, we thought he was going to really soar from there, even though with a low average. Last year missed a lot of time. The numbers back up. When he's out, they don't win as much. He's good behind the plate. He's an energy guy.
Yep.
You know, it just oozes charisma and excitement. So I do agree, though. I don't think that this really sets the Mets back tremendously as a team. I'm just disappointed to watch his personal growth.
Yeah, I know.
Well, that's the thing that I enjoy with young players.
And then also it just goes to show you, again, as we have this conversation many times with the Yankees, you know, all these prospect type guys. Now, he's still young.
He's 23 still.
Yeah, he's 23. So he'll be, 24 next season. And again, he's not out for the year. It's 6 to 8 weeks. Okay, fine. Maybe he comes back. But we saw this same thing impact him a year ago where he was looked pretty good, came back from the injury, and just was not the same. So, you know, he's had one good year when he first burst onto the scene. And even that year, he only hit 209. So, like, the power was there.
Mm-hmm.
But you needed to see him take the next step as being a hitter. Last year, you didn't really get a chance to see that because of the injuries, and it was a down year. And now this year, already off to a bad start. It's just, these things are so fragile. And we, as in fans and media, don't do these kids any favors by constantly talking about the comparisons and that this guy's going to be this. This is the expectation for this player. This is what he should be. It's almost like we leave them no room but to under-deliver because the ceilings are raised so high before they ever accomplish anything at the big league level.
Well, I think it depends on the player. I mean, there are a lot of players littered throughout baseball that answer the bell. You know, I don't know what they were saying in Kansas City about Witt or in Baltimore about Gunnar Henderson or when Mike Trout first came up or when Bryce Harper first came up or Manny Machado first came up. There's a lot of guys who do match it and do meet it. Now, the others, I know it gets a little hijacked here and there, but I think that's just our desire as New York sports fans. Like, we always want to, you know, we're waiting for the next great thing. And there's probably maybe some misrepresentation of who the player is. And we kind of jump the gun and we say, well, he's this at 18. Why can't he be this at 21? Well, especially in baseball, because the path is very unpredictable. I think Alvarez will be fine. I think he's going to be a good player. Now, if we're sitting here at this point, next year, I still wouldn't give up on the young man as a catcher who's 24 at that point.
What if he can't stay healthy?
Well, then that's different. That is different. And it is a little alarming when it's, you know, basically a non-contact, just swinging a bat in the hamate bone, which has happened to many players. But I would say, Sal, as long as he comes back this year, he's going to miss a couple of the months. The strikeouts go down. The average goes up a little bit. On base a little more. Still has some power. I'm still a believer in Alvarez. I like him.
Yeah, I mean, I love his attitude for sure. I just got to see him be able to. He's actually got to do it. That's kind of the point. This is not a knock on Francisco Alvarez. It's a knock on everybody who puts the cart before the horse, and we do that all the time with these prospects. Spencer Jones, the next greatest thing. Now all of a sudden he's not that good. Jason Dominguez, the Martian. Now all of a sudden he can't catch a fly ball. Volpe, going to be a superstar. Now he's a 250 hitter. Yeah, 20 steals. That's great. Guy's a 250 hitter. Other guys.
He was 250.
Yeah, I know.
It's not
right.
250 yet.
Other guys have emerged around the league, to your point, the guys that you just mentioned as superstars. Doesn't mean that we can't have him. Aaron Judge far exceeded the expectations. The expectations when Judge first came up were nothing like this.
Well, that's the irony. The one guy that we didn't pump up, well, how many 6-7 stars are there? Dave Winfield and who else? The
strikes
one guy
out a lot.
We kind of let him just find his own path, and he actually, look what he became.
But that's kind of the point, right? All the other guys we hype up. It's not our fault.
No.
But as far as the disappointment factor, like, there shouldn't be expectations on these guys who haven't proven anything. You could have hope and be excited about the player's potential.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the expectation and counting on certain players to do certain things at the big league level, that's just foolish.
Well, listen, I think one thing is different here. I'm going to take Jason Dominguez. So Jason was signed, at the age of 16, I believe he was, 16 years old. And when you see a player like that, and I remember seeing the blurb, the Yankees, and I read a little prospect, 16, like for the Yankees to get whatever the bonus was of their international pool money at the age of 16, you can't help but react like, this kid's got to be a little special. And you follow him a little bit more, and then you learn that he's got all the tools. Now we'll see if he can play every day in the major league level, but he's got the tools. Same with a Japanese player that comes over, where we've seen some clips on social media. It's pretty much it. Don't know a lot about him. Just kind of going by scouting reports. I think it depends on if you're a first-round pick or an international signee. But I don't think we do that with guys who are like 12th and 13th round picks. I think we let them go through the normal cycle.
Yeah, I feel like it's always the overhype with these prospects, and now so more than ever. All right, before we get back to the phones, BT, Hoff just told me in my ear, Jimmy Garoppolo off the board. He is going back to the Rams. So Giants' plan D does not won't even go into effect. We don't know if it's going to have to, But if they were going to turn their attention to, if they get spurned by Rodgers and Russell Wilson, the report from Connor Hughes, or the thought, was that they were going to maybe turn to Jimmy Garoppolo. He is now off the board going back to the Rams.
Good. I do not want to watch him play football this year. At all.
I'm with you. CJ is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, CJ?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
I am just listening in, and it's just becoming apparent to me as a Giants fan that the Giants are in a position now, after 10 years, where, you know, talent now is going to start to look at us and assess us as not good enough, even B and C and D tier talent, like you just said with Garoppolo. And I think, you know, the best thing for the Giants is to find somebody like a Jameis Winston, get him in, have him, you know, have us, you know, have our down year, have him throw a bunch of touchdowns and interceptions, and at least give us some hope of, you know, maybe getting the next, you know, draft pick for number one overall.
Now, but hold on, CJ. Now, hold on. So it's a little bit of a contradiction. If you want to do that, and I don't know how many fans would agree, like, to punt on the – I'm not saying that it's wrong, but if you're going to do that, why even risk bringing in Jameis Winston and having him throw 30 touchdowns? Like, if you're going to – and I don't like the word tank, but if you want to set yourself up to have access to one of the top quarterbacks next year, just go with Carson Wentz.
Well, I think you still got to get butts in seats, right? Like, people are still paying for a product.
And every seat's bought for the most part, season tickets, you know?
Yeah, but Mara's, he's going to want to see something, right? So, at the very least, it's get some entertainment, right? Like, we want to have some joy every Sunday. And so, I think that's the best, most important thing for the fans. And it's probably
Do you, though, CJ? Because a lot of those same fans were rooting for the team to lose last year. Right or wrong, that was the case. Matter of fact, the one good game that they had, everybody was going nuts, and they actually won.
Exactly. I thought they should have tanked the past two seasons. But we are in an era where that's apparently anti-sporting, and, you know, that's not good sportsmanship, and players don't think about tanking it.
They don't, CJ. They don't. Yeah. Players don't think that way.
And the owner,
you think that
either.
Way, you're getting carried off the field in a stretcher.
Yeah. Remember, the owner, BT, said specifically, we will never do
he did
that.
Say
like,
that.
It's a big thing.
Yeah.
The Giants have been accidentally tanking for the last decade. Like, they're not losing games on purpose. They just can't make a good decision to save their football life.
We wish we can give them that compliment that it was all orchestrated. No, they lose because they're not very smart. Listen, or haven't been so far. I would rather have Pete Rose bet on baseball than to have my team tank. Honestly, Pete Rose betting on baseball, which is rule number one in baseball, to bet on his team to win than to be a fan of a team that tanks.
But you, as a fan...
Those are two different things.
Right, want to root for a team, and you're not alone. It's just not my thing.
Yeah.
But you, as a fan, at times have rooted for your
100%
team to lose.
I bet against the Jets. I've told you that.
So what would
not
you like
in October,
to see,
but...
What would you like to see from the organization then, just not play better players? You're talking about... Because you're talking about you don't want the players on the field or the coaches on the field tanking.
Because to me, when you tank, you are taking away the spirit of everything that the NFL is about.
Right.
I'm not saying that you can't be rewarded on the back end. You might get Tim Duncan. You know, you might also get, you know, Michael Olowokandi or an NFL quarterback like Jamarcus Russell. So there's so many imperfections with tanking. The concept of tanking to me is far more just egregious, even though I lean into it sometimes because I'm willing to roll the dice from a percentage perspective that it will work out favorably for once for my team. But to me, it's more offensive and egregious openly trying to lose than actually having a manager or a coach bet on his team to win.
Yeah, and I think the sport, and we had this conversation during the year, because obviously, unfortunately, again, it continues to come up with the Jets and Giants as far as fans would rather tank to get the better pick than win games. I think the league needs to step in because we as sports fans, you know, have gotten, not just sports fans, but media, whatever, too smart for their own good, where tanking, you and I could have this conversation and we could vehemently disagree, but your logic, BT, in wanting to tank, or fans who agree with that, is not wrong.
Like, no.
How could I argue that today the Giants are in a better spot because they won a game against the Colts than they would have been if they had the number one pick without having to trade up? Like, you can't. So to eliminate that, I think the league needs to take some kind of measures here. I don't care if it's total random or crapshoot and the lottery, whatever you want to say, even more so. I don't think you could... You can't question the integrity of the sport. And when you have fans openly rooting for their team to lose for the right statistical, analytical reason, it just is not good for anybody, I don't think, involved in the sport.
And it's become far more prevalent. I can't imagine that, like, our father, your dad wasn't a big sports fan, but, like, fathers of our fathers, that generation, they weren't, it didn't even enter their realm. You're not sitting on the couch in the 70s worrying about some quarterback at Ole Miss or Kentucky that the Giants might draft.
Nor should you.
Exactly.
You have no idea. And these drafts are, nobody was talking about Jackson Dart when the Giants were tanking. And now all of a sudden it's like, hey, Jackson Dart moving up the draft boards. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll continue the conversation at 888-808-1019 on the Fan.